Paul says to the Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." We've been looking for a few weeks at what the Church of Jesus Christ is, how we are to rightly understand ourselves, what we are, and what have we seen. We've seen that the Church is worshippers, the Church is disciples, the Church is brothers and sisters, and last week the Church is, or are, learners, learners of Christ. And today, as you are probably able to work out, we are thinking about the Church as members. Is the idea of church membership a biblical idea? Well, according to this passage, yes, it certainly is. And what Paul does in this passage is to use the most familiar image that would be possible to any readers of the Bible. What do I mean? Well, the most familiar image or picture that we could ever have in our minds is of ourselves, the human body. Paul wants us to study the human body that we might better understand the church. Here is a powerful, here is an interesting, here is a most applicable illustration. Okay? So we're going to look at church members today. And my first point is this. It's really the main point being made by Paul. The church is one body with many parts. And both of those are important. In that order. The church is one body and the church is many parts. Just as your human body is one body and has many parts. And both two aspects of this, the oneness and the many, are vitally important. Unity matters, and what we call diversity matters. And it's fascinating, if you look at any human society or nation or organization, if one or other of those is overemphasized at the expense of the other, you have an imbalance and you have certain dangers and problems. If we were to overemphasize in a human organization the unity at the expense of diversity, what happens? Well, control and discipline are particularly valued. There's a tendency towards a rigid uniformity, and at the extreme you get what you might call a totalitarian system. But on the other hand, if diversity, if difference is overemphasized, then what's especially valued there is liberty and democracy, and there is a tendency towards individualistic, selfish autonomy, and at the extreme you get moral disintegration, you even get anarchy. Can you see that those two extremes are both imbalanced and unhelpful? And you could even say there's a kind of classic East-West divide there. On the one hand, you have communism. On the other hand, you might have extreme capitalism. And they are opposites. And they're in extreme form, they are both profoundly unhelpful. How is this played out in a church? As it can be. Well, again, there are two poles. There are two extremes. You can have the unity being overemphasized. And there you might have a church of indistinguishable clones, where everyone dresses and looks and speaks and acts in exactly the same way and all look like one another, where rigid conformity is the essential pattern. But on the other hand, you might have on the other extreme the complete breakdown of restraint and discipline so that there is virtual chaos. What is the right way? What is the biblical way? Unity and diversity. We should treasure them both. What do we mean by unity? How does the Apostle Paul in another place speak of unity? Well, he does it like this. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Brothers and sisters, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are to be one in mind, one in heart, one in faith, one in soul, one as we pray together. And that is Paul's prayer so often for the churches he ministers to. But in this, along with this, we treasure and encourage our God-given diversity. Diversity. Now, what kind of diversity is Paul thinking about here? What's he writing about here? What's the emphasis? It's not, as we might perhaps think in our own culture, it's not, first of all, a diversity of personality. That's not what Paul is talking about here or anywhere else. Paul speaks instead about a diversity of gifts, of what we are able to be and to do in serving and building up the Church of Jesus Christ, because that is to be our great concern as God's people. He's talking about a diversity of gifts. And there is a very clear challenge here. Are you a member of this church? I hope you are. That is, if you attend this church regularly, you, and if you are of reasonably mature years, and you have a living faith in Jesus Christ, you should be a member of this church. But a member of the church is no passive spectator. Just because most of you are sitting still at the moment and listening does not mean, I hope, that you are passive. And you are not passive most of the time, if not all of the time. No member of the church is to be a redundant member, a kind of vestigial organ in the body. And we are not talking only about jobs, responsibilities, names, titles, whether or not you appear on the back of this notice sheet. That really isn't the main issue. We're talking about something much deeper and wider than that. The whole life of the church. And Paul, in his letters in Romans 12 and in 1 Corinthians 12, it's worth remembering that it's chapter 12 of Paul's first two letters in the New Testament, where we find a list of gifts. He lists these gifts. He speaks of prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, contributing, leading, acts of mercy. He speaks of apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Let me just draw attention to a few of these. Paul mentions such things as serving. He mentions contributing. He speaks of showing mercy. He speaks of helping, administrating. You are members. Which of these gifts are you actually putting into practice? Are you a living, active member of this expression of the body of Christ? The expectation of the New Testament is that we all should be, according to the gifts and opportunities and abilities that the Lord blesses us with. On occasions like church lunches, we have opportunities then to demonstrate those, not demonstrate, but to put those gifts into practice. But not only then. Are you at home a lot of the time? Is your energy quite low? Is your health not strong? What can you do? Well, you can pray. What can you do here? You can encourage one another. You can smile and greet fellow members. you can pray for them at other times. We are all members. We are all living, functioning, active members if we are members. The unity matters. The diversity matters. They both go together. And then secondly, I want you to notice that every part matters. And what Paul does is something that is really rather humorous. He personifies, he gives a personality to different parts of the body and imagines them speaking about their own relative position in the body. Now I want you to imagine something. Imagine that you are some kind of counselor sitting in your room, and you are invaded now, or knocking on your door comes various body parts walking in, and they come and they talk to you, and what do they say? Well, let me introduce to you first of all Mr. Foot. I don't mean the late leader of the Labour Party of some 30 years ago. I mean a foot. If you can imagine a foot coming into your room, and you're going to speak to the foot, and the foot says to you, "I am feeling very envious towards Mr. Hand." "Oh," you say, "what's the matter, Mr. Foot? Why are you envious towards Mr. Hand?" "Well, Mr. Hand belongs to the body more than I do. He can do more. He can do more interesting things. I mean, he can manipulate things. He can pick things up. He's got more interesting things to do. He's better looking than me, isn't he?" I'm not going to show you my foot, but I mean, I think you can understand that my hand is better looking than my foot, and probably true for most of you here. The hand can live in the open air. I mean, I'm just a foot, and I've got some horrible sweaty sock surrounding me. Mr. Hand can wear rings on his fingers, and I can't wear rings on my toes. Well, some people do, I suppose. And we might say, "Well, calm down, Mr. Foot. It's not that bad, really. Have you ever thought about it? You're a much hardier, tougher soul than Mr. Hand. Oh, you've got a thicker layer of skin on your soul than he has on his palm. People can stand and walk all day on their feet, but you can't walk on your hands. Although some people can, I understand, but not all the time. Mr. Foot, your perception that you do not belong to the body is completely false, because you do." Mr. Foot goes out with something to think about. Then there's a knock on the door. "Who's this now?" "Ah, Mrs. Ear comes in." And Mrs. Ear is looking like thunder as she arrives. "Oh, I'm so jealous of Mrs. Eye," she says. "It's much more interesting to be an eye than to be an ear. The eye can see things, and there's such variety in sight. There's colour, there's brilliance, there's shape, there's size, there's distance, there's focus, there's movement. You don't get that with sound. You know, to see, oh, I'm only an ear and I can't see, I can only hear. I wish I could see." And eyes are more expressive. You can look into somebody's eyes and you can tell their emotions. You can't tell somebody's emotions by looking at their ears, can you? Normally, oh, look at them. And people say, "Oh, what beautiful blue eyes you have." No one ever says, "What beautiful blue ears you have," do they? I mean, they might comment on your earrings, but the earrings are appendages. They're not part of my ear. I'm a very ugly ear. And then you counsel the ear and you say, "Now listen, Mrs. Ear. Actually, sound is beautiful. Sound is beautiful. Sound is rich. Sound is varied. Ask a musician. Don't underestimate the ear. Through the ear comes hearing, the word of God. Mrs. Ear, you're very precious. Your perception that you do not belong to the body is completely false." Mrs. Ear leaves the room with something to think about. Every part has a unique, distinct, valuable, necessary function. Paul says, if all were a single member,